Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Then the second thing Jesus deals with is effective prayer. He said, when you ask, you will receive. When you knock, the door will be open. And when you seek, you will find. He teaches us the proper way to pray. In the last session, we talked about the golden rule. The golden rule is a concept of morality that people that aren't even believers try to live their life by, that you should treat other people the way that you should be treated. However, we go beyond just treating people nicely so they'll treat us nicely, because God said, I am going to do in your life the way that you do it in other people's lives. So if you hold on to unforgiveness, forgiveness will not be shown to you. If you withhold favor and blessing and you're stingy and you're greedy, then I will withhold favor and blessing from you. And so the golden rule is so much bigger than just how you are treating somebody at your job. Realize that you are the gospel, amen, brought to life for them. But now we're going to go to verse 13 and start in some brand new material. And we're going to talk about the narrow gate. Somebody say the narrow gate. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, this is what Jesus said. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. There is a lot of people in our city, in our nation, on the planet Earth that would have a problem with this statement. They have had problems with this statement when pastors have said it, when believers have said it. But can I point to you that if you have a Bible that has letters in red, this is Jesus himself talking. And Jesus said, you can only enter through the narrow gate to get to God's kingdom. Which tells us, church, that kingdom is a choice. And the Old Testament said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve the gods of your forefathers? Are you going to serve Jehovah God? Are you going to serve the gods of Baal? And so I have come to challenge you tonight before we go any step further. I don't know everyone in the room and you don't know me, but everybody in the room and online today, I've got to tell you, it is your choice to choose Jesus. It is your choice to choose life. It is your choice to choose eternity. And it is your choice to choose kingdom. Kingdom is a choice that we must make. I know you said yes to Jesus as your Savior many days ago, weeks ago, months ago, years ago, but can I tell you that kingdom is a choice that you must make every day? Because faith is kingdom, hope is kingdom, joy and peace are kingdom, the anointing is kingdom. So every day you and I have a choice that when we roll out of bed and we leave our homes, are we going to be kingdom people and Jesus people, or are we going to be like everybody else? Our Father has made this choice available through Jesus. Christ made this decision, church, available by laying down his life. All God and all man in Gethsemane wrestling with the thought of going to the cross. The flesh part of all man said, I do not want this cup, take it from me. But the all God said, but nevertheless, let your will be done. I am here to tell you that Jesus sacrificed a lot to give you this option. So make the right choice, church. Make the right choice. You say, are you going to have an altar call right now? I need us to have altar calls every day of our lives. I need us to choose and say, all right, because the altar is a place of choice, right? The altar is a place where we choose Jesus. We choose life and life in abundance. I need you to go to the altar on Thursday at your job, maybe in the third stall of the bathroom, maybe in your corner cubicle. Maybe you go out for lunch in your car just to get a few moments of peace. Can I tell you that you can make your steering wheel an altar and choose kingdom every day of your life? So if the Father made this choice available through Jesus, and Jesus made this choice available by the laying down of his life, imagine, church, how Jesus feels after sacrificing so much only for people to make another choice. There are people that have come in the Living Way before, and they did not walk this way to an altar. They walked that way to their car unchanged. And Jesus is in heaven and he's done all that he must do. He shed blood and he opened up the narrow gate for everyone. And there are people in this world that have that choice staring in front of them and staring them in the eye, and they choose something other than Jesus. And might I remind us, church, that any other option is a less than option. Jesus is the best thing, praise God, that has happened to us. How about this? How about the believers who were so kingdom focused at one point in their life, but now their gaze has shifted to the things of culture and to the things of this world? When they said yes to Jesus and they chose Jesus at one point in their life, but now they take that same voice and that same mouth and now they choose something else. Or perhaps they're choosing Jesus still with their mouth, but their bodies tell us a different story and their time spent tells us a different story and what they do with their life tells us a different story. I'm telling all of us in this room, including the man holding the microphone, that Jesus has done so much and he has done too much in us and for us to choose another option. When you said yes to Jesus, you said no to everything else, which means if you say yes to something else, you are saying no to Jesus. The kingdom of God, church, has only one entrance, and it's Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, Tom Cruise, Scientology is not going to get you to heaven. Sorry, Miss Oprah, there are not many roads that lead to heaven. Larry King found out, and I hope he found Jesus before he took his last breath, but Larry believed, the CNN interviewer, Larry King, believed that there was many roads that would lead to heaven, but as he drew his last breath, he found out one way or the other how many roads there was. There is only one road to heaven. There is only one gate to heaven. There is only one door to heaven. There is only one entrance, and it is Jesus Christ. I had a difficult conversation with a new believer here in this building. They're not here tonight, I don't think, but I had a conversation right here in this altar many months ago. I think it was at the beginning of 2023, and I said, "How's it going?" He said, "It's going great." I said, are you in the Word?" And he said, "Every week," he said, "I have a weekly Bible study with my brothers in the Jehovah's Witness." And I said, that's not a Bible study. They don't believe like you and I believe. And if you are showing them and ministering to them and teaching them is one thing, but if you are giving them equal footing to speak into your life, they are telling you something that is not true and not false. And I said all of that to say this, because the Jehovah's Witness, and I know you've got family and I love them, but I need to tell the truth to somebody who's still dabbling in some other things. It is not a Christian denomination. It is very different. Jehovah's Witness and Baptist are not the same. Jehovah's Witness and Presbyterians are not the same. I knew it'd get quiet. Jehovah's Witness and Methodists are not the same. Why? Because they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that he is a prophet and an agent of God, but they don't believe he is the Son of God. Their doctrine is forever evolving and changing, and there is a group of elders that literally change things by the whim of what they want to see and what they want to do. That is not how the church is to be run. The church of the living God is founded on the concept that Jesus is God, he's the Son of God, and the only way to get to heaven is through him. Repentance and belief in him. Not working, not knocking doors. They believe 144,000 will be saved. Isn't it going to be a travesty when they get to heaven? And they found out somebody else knocked one more door than they did. Isn't it going to be sad for the 144,001 that they didn't do enough? I'm here to tell you, it's not how much you can do. Jesus already did enough. And that's why he said, "I am the door. I'm the narrow gate." John 10:9, Jesus said, "I am the door," not a door. Not one of many doors. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture." John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way." There it is again. "The truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. Jesus is the only. If that makes people mad, they're going to have to be mad. If they don't agree with it, they can take that up with upper management when they get there. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus. Matthew 7:13, this is what Jesus goes on to say. The highway to hell is broad. AC/DC is way too excited about that highway to hell. Because it's not going to be a party, y'all. You're not going to burn up and it's not going to be over. The Bible teaches that you are regenerated over and over and over again for eternity. You think a Texas, San Antonio summer is hot? We haven't even begun to scratch the surface. And there is no cold fronts. People without Jesus in hell are begging for a warm front. He said, the highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. The highway to hell, church, is wide. Aren't you glad you're not on that highway anymore? And if you're watching online tonight or you're in the room and you haven't found that narrow gate yet, you are in the right place. You have tuned in to the right church because we're going to give you Jesus tonight and make a way where you thought there was no way. So the highway to hell is wide. Why is it wide? Very simple, church, because many people are using that road. I wasn't going to put this on the wall, but I'm going to place it on the wall. Take a picture and add it to your social media timeline just so you can get some engagement and feedback and it'll open the door for somebody. But they're about to put it on the screen right now. Listen to what I'm going to say. Hell is a choice. Hell is a choice. I've had people that have gotten in my face, some of them disrespectfully and some of them respectfully, saying, I don't believe in a God that would create a place called hell and send people to hell that don't believe in him, to which I calmly reply back to them, God did not create hell for people. God created hell for the third of the angels that followed Lucifer when he kicked him out. Hell is for demons and the devil. It is not for people. And God said, listen, for them to accuse God, the audacity that they would accuse God of not loving people, when for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Not only did he love us enough to send his son, he said, I want to be with you forever. God did not make hell for people. Hell was created for the devil and the third of the angels that followed him out of heaven. Even though I believe that there are people who are surprised when they wake up in hell, or that's where their final destination is, I do want to double down that it is a choice, that every day of your life, you are given the choice to turn to Jesus. That's why missionaries are so important, because they're carrying the gospel to people that don't have buildings like this, that don't know who Elevation Worship is and don't know this worshiper and this podcast pastor, but they need somebody to bring Jesus to them. And I believe for those that haven't met a missionary, before they take their last and draw their last breath on this earth, if a missionary hasn't found them in the far-flung corners of this earth, I believe that Jesus himself can show up to them and give them a vision. There is documented, it just happened a few weeks ago since the Palestinian-Israel conflict, hundreds of Muslims one night had the same dream where Jesus came to them. And when they woke up, they all denounced Muslim and Muhammad and Allah and accepted Jesus Christ into their life. I am here to tell you that you don't have to choose hell. You don't have to choose death. You don't have to choose darkness. I love that new song, The Hour of Darkness. It is over, and God has given us a new and living way. Hell is a choice. Media team, if you'll put up that big highway, that big picture of that highway on the wall for us. Anybody know where that is? That's the Katy Freeway coming into Houston, Texas. I counted the lanes. There are 34 lanes. I have sat there in gridlock traffic which means they need 68 lanes, not 34. Maybe they're going to double deck that thing like they're doing out front here. You know why Houston needs that interstate? Because almost 10 million people live in that county. You need all of that space because there's a lot of people that are using it. It's what we would call a high traffic area. You know why the highway to hell is broad and wide? It is a high traffic area. I don't know the numbers, but there's going to be a whole lot less people in heaven than there are in hell. That's sobering. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus said the reason that one's wide is because very few people ever find the narrow road and the narrow gate. Few be that find it is how Jesus said it. So you've got this giant interstate because of the volume of the almost 10 million people. Why build such a massive freeway? There's a lot of people coming through. Why build it so nice? San Antonio and Bexar County finally got the notice that we need to start pouring our freeways out of concrete instead of blacktop. Houston has to because they built that city on a bayou that's always moving underneath them. So they had to put concrete. You go to Houston, those highways, now the main highways, they are nice. They are smooth. It's comfortable on that interstate. Why? Because the most highly trafficked areas of life are always going to be the nicest and the most comfortable. Because they want people to use them and they know that there's a lot of people using them. But let me encourage you, church. Maybe it's a young person in here that's just newly saved and you're trying to find friends. And it's hard to find Bible-believing friends at any age, praise God. Never mistake the crowded road for the converted road. Just because there's a lot of people on it doesn't mean they're all going the right way. Just because you see people that you know or it looks like they know or you think they know more than you or they're closer to God than you and you're saying, well, if they're going to do it, I'm going to do it. That's why Paul would say this. He didn't say follow me, period. He said follow me as I follow Christ, meaning this, if I ever quit following Christ, quit following me. If I ever do a U-turn on this narrow road and I cut across to the highway to hell, quit following me and keep following Jesus. Never mistake the crowded road for the converted road. We've heard it growing up all of our lives, but some of us still need to hear it today. Everybody is doing it is a terrible reason to do something. Someone told me recently about some young people many years ago that were raised in this church that I pastored for many, many years that are barely going to church. And the church they're going to is not really a church. It's a country club. And they've started drinking and they're no longer serving and they're no longer doing. What happened? They were following somebody that got them on the wrong road. Everybody else was doing it. Listen, can I speak to the 22-year-old single person? You don't have to have sex because everybody else is. You don't have to go to the club because everybody else is. You don't have to get tipsy because everybody else is. Listen, you don't have to get a divorce because everybody you rolled with got one. You don't have to do that. Many people choose the highway to hell or the broad, wide way just because it's the easiest route to go. It's the path of least resistance. Can I encourage you, church, that if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you are going to be what he's called you to be and do what he's called you to do, you are going to have to get used to a life of resistance. Resistance is what makes you stronger. Carrying weight that makes you uncomfortable. You don't work out just with weight that you want to press yourself. You want to put yourself out there. Can I encourage you? There is a there's a lot of people. I was going to say millions. I hope it's not millions. There are thousands of believers that have chosen a lesser way than the way that God started them on just because it's easier and they could not handle the resistance they were facing. Matthew 7:14, this is what Jesus says now. But the gateway to life, remember the road to destruction, but the gateway to life is very narrow. And the road is difficult. You know what Jesus did not say here? And I know this isn't going to preach well. He didn't say that the road and gate are narrow and the road may be difficult. He said, no, the road is difficult. That's a declaration we don't shout about. We like the easy way. Jesus said, no, you follow me. It's the hard way. But remember what he said. Cast your cares on me. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus doesn't call you to something difficult and then leave you to walk it on your own. Jesus said, I will walk it with you. I will help you. Y'all remember footprints in the sand? Sometimes Jesus got to carry you. Sometimes he's had to drag me. Sometimes he's had to get a little red wagon behind him and pull me through. But he never leaves me. Even in the difficult seasons, he's there. Even though the difficult season, he's present. He's there. He's always there. He's always willing to speak, always willing to embrace. Somebody say, he's there. The gateway to life is very narrow. The road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Can you show me the narrow path? The picture of the narrow. There it is. It's a lot different than H-Town. It's a lot different than 10 million. You know that, I know exactly what that is. That's not man-made, actually. That was made by animals walking the same path every day to water. Whatever animal is there, whether it's horses, cows, deer, they walk the same path. So this might not even be made by a lot of people. It might be made by one person doing the same thing every single day. I'm grateful that I've had men and women in my life, church, that haven't paved the way, but they have taught me how to walk in the way, even when it's not paved. Even when it's a dirt road, even when there's potholes, even when it gets, listen, y'all, I'm a grown man. I flew in to Jackson, Mississippi, and drove overnight drove during the day, up to the northeast corner of Mississippi for a funeral. My friend Andrew Willis was with me. We flew over together. It was for a funeral. We got in the car. We drove. And then we had to drive all night back so that we could get on our airplane like 6 in the morning. I don't know if you've been through the piney woods of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. It is beautiful during the day. It's scary at night, y'all. And so me and Andrew are going back and forth with hypotheticals. What would you do if we come over this next hill and there's just a guy with a chainsaw standing in the middle of the road? What would you do if we had a flat tire and this? And we went on for like 45 minutes, and then Andrew said, man, I need to go to the bathroom, man. And in Mississippi, they got rest areas hidden in those woods. So I pulled up to a rest area. He said, you had to know Andrew. He said, are you kidding me? Right here? I said, you going to hold it or here? I'm not going to tell you what he did, but I'm going to just tell you he got back in the car. He said, we're not staying here. Because sometimes that road, when you're by yourself, see, some of you are on a road by yourself tonight. And you think by yourself is a punishment. Can I tell you that you've got to mature to the place that sometimes you're by yourself for promotion and not punishment. Sometimes you're by yourself. I like being alone. I like being alone. Mandy's so funny. Mandy sets up in the living room. I set up in my home office. We don't share a lot of the same interests when it comes to TV shows. So she'll walk in my office and hold a conversation. I'll walk in the living room, have a conversation. We'll yell at each other back and forth. But when Mandy says, hey, I'm going to go out of town with my mom or with Jay for a couple days, I say, oh, don't leave. Don't leave. Please don't leave. I don't like it when you're not in this. She goes, we don't spend hardly any time in the house together. It doesn't. I just need to know you're there. Can I encourage somebody today? Jesus, where'd you go? Please don't leave me. I can't do this. Jesus is saying, hey, you might not be able to see me, but I'm there. You might not be able to see me in those pine woods, but I'm there. You might not be able to see me. You think you're stranded by yourself. I'm there. I don't know where this path is. I couldn't find that with Lewis and Clark in an expedition. I don't know where that is. See, some of y'all remember grade school, Lewis and Clark. Some of y'all are like, who's that? I don't have time. I don't know where that is. And see, there's people that are going to get to heaven, and he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. They're going to say, but Jesus, I never knew where the narrow path was. Insert the church. That's why we're here. We're here to be able to tell them, hey, the narrow path is this way. Hope for your future, it's this way. Deliverance from what you're facing, it's this way. And as much as I love Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, we don't need another preacher on a microphone. We need every day of our lives to be pointing to the way. And sometimes it's just an encouraging post on Facebook. Sometimes it is a conversation at the water cooler. Sometimes it is a text to somebody. Somebody around you is hurting and giving you the opportunity to point and say, this is the way. I don't know where that is, and that's a shame that there's a lot of people, especially in the United States of America, that have still never met Jesus or never had the opportunity to meet Jesus. Why isn't that road paved? There's no reason to pave it, y'all. There's no traffic. I don't need it paved, not much traffic, and it's sure not very comfortable. You can't take your car on that road. You're going to have to walk. See, some of us want to take that car because it expedites the process. What if God tells you, for the next 10 months, I need your undivided attention, and we're going to go through some rough spots, and we're going to go through some storms, but I'm going to be there every minute of every day, and I'm going to make sure you have the strength. I'm going to make sure that you have everything you need to get through them. I traded my comfort when I said yes to his calling. Let me say that again. I traded my comfort when I said yes to his calling. I got so much more on this. We'll pick it up next week. I want to encourage somebody that you think you're on the wrong road tonight because you don't see anybody else. You're not on the wrong road just because you don't see anybody else. Never confuse isolation with abandonment. Alone and lonely are not the same. I can be alone and be the strongest I've ever been because I'm not really alone. Just because I don't have people doesn't matter. I have the Prince of Peace. Just because I have things doesn't matter. I have the King of Kings. Alone and lonely are not the same. And don't confuse your isolation for abandonment. It is not a punishment. Sometimes it is a promotion. Jesus, it is said about Jesus in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. David caught on to this concept when he said in verse 4 of the most popular psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why don't I fear? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We've got new believers in the room today. They're going to put this on the wall, but I typed this and retyped it and erased it and retyped it and rearranged it because I wanted it to sound right and to make sense for somebody that is walking that road all by themselves today. When you learn to walk the narrow road with God the correct way, then and only then will he begin to add quality, faith-filled people in your life. God needs to know this, church. Give me 2 more minutes. God needs to know this. Can God trust you with you? Because if God can't trust you with you, why would he bring good people into your life? I knew it'd get quiet there. Can God trust you with you? You say, what does that mean? Can God trust you to be delivered from pornography once and for all? Can God trust you to not be so addicted that it changes your personality, changes your decision making, and you make bad decisions that get you in a bad spot? Why would he give you that good thing if you don't have you right yet? I end with this. You may stand to your feet. Last year, I invited somebody to come speak here at Living Way. It's a national speaker. And I followed them on social media. Can I just tell you, the social media view of whoever you're following, I don't care if it's Kim K or the pastor with the largest church in the world, you're getting a highlight reel. You're not getting necessarily the real them. They're taking selfies on the narrow road, then they go right back to the highway to hell. So I I contacted his office and I said, hey, I'd like for so-and-so to come. So I need to know what his requirements are. And so, sad to say, they sent me the list of requirements. I just want you to know that our bishop, when he travels, doesn't require anything. He goes and preaches for free sometimes. Pays his own way sometimes. I've done the same. That's not what it's about. If I had my choice, I'd never leave the state of Texas again. I love my state. I love my church. I love my family. I don't need to go anywhere else. But pastors think they're rock stars. So I got the rider, the list of things. At the top of the list, 2 first class tickets. 2 hotel rooms. And everything was in twos. I know this guy's not married, so I'm like, why is it in twos? And I said, if you could, to his assistant, I said, if you could let me know, why do we need to buy 2 of everything? Oh, that's for his accountability on the road. His accountability partner. It's okay. I said, well, just so you know, I'm uninviting him. We don't want him. And she said, what do you mean? I said, accountability partner, he's a pastor. If he can't trust him with him, I don't want him around me or my family. And I sure don't want to put him up in front of the church family and have him deposit things that he's not living. If God can't trust you with you, why is he going to bring great people? Well, I'm so sick and tired of being by myself. Ask the question, why are you being by yourself? Is it punishment? Is it promotion? Is it because God can't trust you yet? Is God getting you ready for the next? Here we are, talking about the narrow gate. Say, Pastor Brandon, I like this word. It's been great, but how are you going to do an altar call? Because I'm going to feel guilty if I walk. Don't feel guilty. There's been a lot of times where I've stepped off the narrow road and had to step back on. There's been times that the storm was so crazy, y'all, that I got turned around on the narrow road and was going the wrong way. And Jesus had to tap me on the shoulder with the Holy Spirit and say, hey, Brandon, we're this way. We're going this way. We're going forward. We're going in. We're going on. We're going forward. So my altar appeal is very simple. If you're not on the narrow road, we want to put you on the narrow road today, and that happens with Jesus. Maybe you're on the narrow road and you're having second thoughts. We want to alleviate those second thoughts and tell you, no, when you said yes to Jesus, you made the right choice. Some of you are thinking, man, it used to be so easy. It was so easy because you were going the wrong way on a highway. But now he's saying it's time to go the right way on the narrow road. The Holy Spirit and Pastor Mandy and my mama, those three convict me all the time. Me and my mom, we share a lot of similar interests when it comes to movies and shows. So I said, Mom, you gotta watch this show. I said, this one of the best shows I've ever seen. You got to watch it. She goes, oh, I tried to watch it. She goes, the language is way too bad for me to watch that. And then she said this as I was walking away with my head held. She said, but baby, let the Holy Spirit do that in you. She said, don't do it because I don't do it. Let the Holy Spirit. That was a way of her saying to her baby, listen to the Holy Spirit better and follow what your mama's doing. Praise God. Oscar, I've been to movies with Pastor Mandy. 10 minutes into the movie. I've never seen a rated R movie with Mandy, and I've known her now 20-something years. We've been in some PG-13 movies, y'all. 5 minutes in, she gets up, and she's like, I've had enough of this. I'm going to the car. Takes 3 steps, turns around. I'm still. She's like, are you coming? Like, are you going to sit here through this nonsense? That's transparency. Because I want to tell you, none of us are skipping the narrow road saying, oh, isn't this awesome? There are decisions we're making every day that are pulling us towards Jesus or away from him. The 5 in this altar are saying, hey, I want to be on the narrow road. I want to get on the narrow road. I want to stay on the narrow road. It doesn't matter the decision they're making. It is their choice with Jesus right now. But I'm pulling on another dozen, 2, 3 dozen people. I am out of time. It is time that you set your face like a flint. It is time that you look to Jerusalem like Jesus did. It's time that you say, God, I'm never going back. I'm getting off of the highway. I'm walking the road less traveled. And it starts on a Wednesday night. This is your moment, church. This is your moment, church. The road less traveled. The road less traveled, not paved. Potholes, less traveled. But the destination is worth the road. Living Way, the destination is worth the road. Yeah, but I can't fly 140 miles an hour down that little narrow path. No, you can't. You're gonna have to just take step after step after step. Sin is pleasurable for a season. Oh, it's fun to drive fast. But if the destination is not worth going to, it doesn't matter. You're just getting there faster. Slow and steady wins the race. Line up on line, church. Precept upon precept. Jesus said it. Jesus, your word has quickened and made us alive and made something alive in us today. God, as we open the altars, and now people in the altars are now opening their hearts and opening their lives to you. Leave no stone unturned. Leave no heart unturned. Our spirit is ready to be consumed with all that you are. Anoint us. Let the calling to us be greater in value than our comfort. As we follow you, Jesus, we will follow you through tough moments. We will follow you through moments that a lesser us would have turned around, but greater are you in us than he that is in the world. And so, God, you have given us what we need to press forward. The dozen or two that have gathered in this altar tonight, those that are watching online, and perhaps somebody at their chair that hasn't moved out yet, God, I pray that you would speak to their heart, speak to their mind, speak to their spirit. Do something tonight, God, that awakens, Lord, that desire to stay on that narrow road and to find that narrow gate. Give them the strength, the courage, the bravery. Let your spirit make up the difference when we fall short, and have your way in these people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our altar workers, our pastoral team is going to begin to pray. Somebody's going to come in front of, they're going to lay their hands on you. That's just anointing what God is already doing. That's just us adding our agreement to it. After they come by and pray with you, somebody that's standing behind you is going to turn you around or step in front of you, and they're going to ask important questions like, have you received Jesus? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Would you like to? Have you been baptized in water? Would you like to? You know why there's a lot of Christians that aren't filled with the Holy Ghost? They jumped on the narrow road, but they quit walking that narrow road, because on the narrow road, you will find the Holy Ghost. On the narrow road, you will find water baptism. If you'd like to make that choice tonight is, this is your moment. I'm out of time. If you'd like to be saved, filled with the Spirit, baptized in water, all three, one, a combination of the two, this is your moment. It is so important.